Romans 8, where am I? Hold on. Romans 8, 29 and 30. We've read this so many times, but we're going to read it again. Repetition's never a bad thing. Oh, in this dark, I'm going to need these. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. This is known as the golden chain of redemption, and it stretches from eternity past, when he foreknew us and wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life, and it stretches to the glory to come, when we will be glorified. Notice there are five links in the chain: foreknown, predestined, called, justified, and glorified. Now tonight, I'd just like to focus on that one word, justified. What is justification? The best way to explain it, like I did this morning, but now I'll read it to you. Acts chapter 10. Here is God's justification in action. We'll start with verse 10. Acts 10, verse 10. Let's start at verse 9. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." And the voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." Just so far. "Do not call unclean," God says, "what I have called clean." This is justification. Justification is the declaration of God, the sovereign, indisputable declaration of God, that which may be considered impure in the eyes of man is clean. And for one reason and one reason only, because I have said so, says the Lord. Justification is the declaration of righteousness. It's not to make righteous, it's to declare righteous in what we call the forensic sense. As a judge makes a decree and it's final, God declares certain people holy. And they're holy not by virtue of their own goodness, but by virtue of God's decree. That already should have alarm bells ringing in your mind. You should think, what? This is justification, and it's a key doctrine of the gospel. And it's one of those doctrines that's either not understood, and when it is understood, it makes people a little bit uppity and upset. Only the Spirit of God can truly teach this doctrine, but it's one of the central doctrines of the Protestant faith. As I said this morning, the Roman Catholic Church have anathematized anyone who teaches or believes what I'm going to say tonight. So if I suddenly keel over on my back, their curses come true. I'm not joking. In the Council of Trent in about 1565, this doctrine of justification by faith was cursed by the Pope. And they hold on to the Council of Trent to this day. Okay, in fact, it's not only the Roman Catholics, but I found many people that struggle, even in Protestant churches, to really believe the doctrine of justification. It just seems too crazy. Do you know the Reformation of 500 years ago happened because of this word?
Justification. Do you know the entire struggle with Luther and the Roman Church was over the definition of that word in the Greek, dikaiosune. The Roman Catholics claimed justification
meant God would declare you righteous when you'd merited sufficient repentance and made certain reparations for the things you'd done wrong. They said a man is justified when he's proven himself worthy of justification. Luther, arguing from the Bible, said no, that's not true at all. God justifies people absolutely freely based upon the call, based upon their predestination, based upon the foreknowledge of eternity. In other words, this is what outraged the Roman Catholics. Roman Catholics were saying, what was that skipping song they used to say? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All good children go. Well, I used to believe that all good people went to heaven. The Roman Catholics teach that. If you merit enough good works, you'll be justified. Luther, who was a brilliant scholar in the scriptures, proved that is simply not true. The Bible clearly teaches, and we have it in those two verses in Romans 8, who are justified? Good people? No, those who are called. Well, who are called? Those who are predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. Well, who are they? God foreknew, love from eternity. And God justifies unconditionally whom he will. Well, this caused the Reformation. The Roman Catholics to this day hate this doctrine. They say it sounds like we're cheating. You see, if you believe in justification, if you're one of those people who's convicted of evangelical justification, you're able to say this tonight. I know that I'm a sinner, and I know I've sinned countless times since I got up this morning. I know in thought, word, and deed, I'm not a good person. Doesn't matter how hard I try, I keep falling. But because I'm justified, right now, I am spotless in God's eyes. I am totally forgiven, and God looks at me and he sees the beauty of Jesus. Do you know the Roman Catholics say, how dare you say that? That is absolutely presumptuous. But we say, as evangelicals, we are holy in God's sight, forgiven of all our sins, no matter what we've done or where we've been, our sins are removed because of Christ, and right now we stand before God impeccably holy. You have no sin that God has against you. There's nothing you need to repent of. You don't need to go to a priest and make confessions because your sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. You don't have to prove yourself to God because God cannot love you more than he loves his son. And we're told in John 17 he loves us with the love he has for his son. So when God looks at you, evangelical Christian, he sees beauty, spotlessness, purity, and he adores you. Now, you may say, but that's crazy. How can that be? The Roman Catholics say this is presumption. They say, you can say, I hope to be saved. I'm trying to be justified. But how dare a person say, I am justified? Well, that is what we claim tonight, and we base it on the teachings, especially of the Apostle Paul. In Colossians 2, Paul tells the Colossians, you are complete in Christ. Holokleros in outu. There's nothing you lack that God has not already given you. If you're an evangelical Christian, you don't have to prove yourself. You don't have to do penance. You are already perfect in God's sight. Now, I hope I've got one or two of you thinking, oh, there's something weird here. How can this be true? Unless you're absolutely deluded with grandeur and you think you're a good person, you're probably thinking right now, well, hold on a minute. How can this be true? God cannot lie, can he? God cannot sweep sin under the carpet. He can't turn a blind eye. So how can he look at me and say, you're beautiful, you're perfect, when I know pretty well in my own heart what a wretch I am? Is God playing a double standard here somehow? How can I be perfect in God's eyes when I know what a sinner I am? This is the big question. And the answer is this. We are justified, that means declared spotless, in Christ. Christ is, according to Martin Luther, he gave us alien righteousness. That's righteousness. He gave us an alien righteousness, a righteousness that's not our own. How did this happen? When Christ died on the cross, all of your sins, past, present, and future, get that into your mind, even the sins you've yet to commit, your sins were all placed on him. And he, the scapegoat, bore your sins on that cross. He who knew no sin was made sin for you, that you may be the righteousness of God. And everything that deserved punishment, Christ bore on the cross in a timeless sense. Therefore, God looks at his people who are in Christ, those for whom Christ died, and he sees no charge against them. No guilt, no sin. It is removed as far as the east is from the west. Christ has died in the place of us for the price of our sin. Now you all know that, don't you? You've heard this hundreds of times. But it goes further than that. Christ didn't only die for our sins, he lived on our behalf. You see, we bear the righteousness of Christ. And what this means is, Christ lived on earth as a man for 33 years. And in 33 years, I can't imagine how he did it. I can't. It's not in my mind. He never sinned. I can't imagine a person living and never sinning. But he never sinned once. He pleased God in everything he did. He lived a holy, righteous, beautiful life. Imagine meeting Jesus. Imagine what he must. Here was a man who lived a beautiful life, never did wrong. And when he hung on the cross, this is the hard part that we need to understand. His righteousness, his goodness was stripped off him like a robe. He was stripped of his own beauty and goodness and hung naked and cursed on our behalf. The righteousness that was intrinsically his was taken from him on the cross. And he was cursed as the most despicable sinner. Well, what happened to that righteousness that was stripped off Christ? Any of you have heard of Yom Kippur? What is Yom Kippur?
Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. Atonement is the word Kippur. And what does it mean? Covering.
Jesus died on the cross as our atoning sacrifice. Now that we use that word glibly, what does it mean? He was sacrificed and that holy life was taken off him and wrapped around you. So when God looks at you, he sees the beauty of Jesus because you're covered. That's the wedding garment we all have to wear when we stand before God one day. We are dressed for the presence of God, not in a righteousness of our own, but in the righteousness that was taken from Christ on the cross and given to us. You are in God's eyes. What does Song of Songs say? How beautiful you are, my lovely. That's Christ speaking to his church. You may say, me? Beautiful? You know, you should have gone to Specsavers. No, God looks at you and he sees Jesus. He sees the beauty of Jesus covering you. This is sadly what the Roman Catholics do not understand. They're trying to please God with their own deformed perfections. Those who are truly born again, those who are called, predestined and foreknown, are justified. God has declared them beautiful in his Son. Why? I'm a sinner. Well, your sins are paid for in Christ. But I'm so distorted and wrong. You're covered in the beauty of Jesus. And this is why we Christians can claim that we're ready for heaven. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done or where you've been. I told you about an axe murderer this morning. But Gilly, one of the fellows this morning, was telling me that he heard another story of a Nazi war criminal that was visited by an evangelist in Nuremberg before the executions of the war criminals. And this man also went to the gallows praising God, saying he was loved and forgiven, even though he'd sent people to the gas chambers. You see, Christians believe something outrageous. Justification is not an actual event, it's a declaration. Justification doesn't make you good. It covers up your badness. And it's not permanent. Here's the interesting thing. We come to this in 2 weeks' time with glorification. Justification will eventually be transformed into glorification. But while we're on earth, we're covered. God knows what you are inside. And never forget, don't get arrogant. You know you're a sinner. But you're covered in the perfect righteousness of Christ. And you will be justified until one day when you're glorified. And you'll no longer need to be justified because you'll be just like Jesus. So don't be discouraged. The blood of Christ on the cross has justified you. You're declared righteous. You don't have to earn salvation. You don't have to go out there and prove yourself to God or whip yourself or say how sorry you are. I know what a loser I am. I don't need to impress anyone. Jesus has adopted me and sees beauty in me because I'm covered in the atonement of Christ. The blood of Jesus is the most powerful thing ever given. But I wanted to say one thing before I close. Have you got questions about this? Do you think you'll have questions? Has it sounded outrageous to anyone? Or are you all just... Okay. The justification of Christ is this. You're saved, not by works of righteousness which you have done, but according to mercy. Or what do we read in Ephesians 2? Not by works lest we should boast. It's not your works. And I believe that we're living in a day and age when justification is a dying doctrine. I received this in my post yesterday. Some very kind person went around putting tracts in letterboxes. I think I know which church sent it, but I won't say anything. And I was very impressed at first. I read it and I thought, how nice, they're giving out tracts. Do you know that many people who are preaching Christ are not preaching justification? How precious do you think the blood of Jesus is? What does it say in 1 Peter? It's not silver or gold that purchased you, but the blood of Christ, the most precious thing imaginable. What did Christ buy his church with? A book of Acts? The blood of God. Divine blood is the power that saves us. Now, is that blood effective? Of course it is. It's a completed task. When Jesus died on the cross, he finished, it says in Hebrews, once and for all our salvation. Well, listen to this. This is a well-meaning person who sent up. I crumpled it up, as you can see, but then I took it out and I thought, no, I'm going to read this to you. This is how we've got to be careful of satanic deception in these days of do-gooder Christianity. He goes on in the first part of the tract to talk about Christ dying for sinners. And then he says this. Blessed as these truths are, they are worthless unless you make them yours by the decision to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. So the blood of Jesus, he's saying here, is worthless. It did nothing unless you, in your own created decision, make it powerful. What saves you? Not the blood of Jesus, but your decision. Please be careful. The blood of Jesus is the power of God to salvation of everyone who believes. But who believes? Those who were called. Who were called? Those who God predestined to be conformed to his image. It's the work of God, never the work of man, lest any man should boast. So justification is a declaration that you and I are spotless. God says to the devil, don't call unclean what I have called clean. Right now he's looking at us and smiling and saying, what beautiful people. Look at all my kids. He loves us. How can he do that? Because we're covered in the perfection of Christ.